So I guess this was before they put him in the manger. They were like, ah, the baby's born. It was a rough travel, rough night. When you think of the people who worshiped Jesus as a baby, they did it by faith. You know, he's the Messiah, a deliverer, the king. They came and worshiped him as a baby. And they did it by faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Just come to you by faith this morning. Just pray that you'll speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So by faith, we worship Jesus, and we don't see him right now, right? They came and they saw the baby, you know. By faith, they expected the baby. And by faith, we look back and we worship Jesus not as just a baby. He's not just a cute baby in a manger. He was a baby. And as a baby, he was the King of Kings. But he grew up and he had a mission. And we know about that. And there's a purpose that he came. And God sent forth his son. He sent him to earth. He sent him, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, that we might be. And so redemption, what is redemption? I was thinking of, it means to buy back or ransom. And when somebody got in a debt, they might have to sell their land. And the land was supposed to stay in the family. So I was thinking, what are some examples of redemption that we have in today's society? And the first one that came to mind was a pawn shop. You know, you get into trouble, somebody gets in debt, they go pawn something very valuable, sentimental, and they want it back, and they need it back. And then the deadline's up, and they go to a relative, and they say, help, I pawned grandma's wedding ring. You know, we need to get it back. A pawn shop. I was also thinking of child support. When people don't pay child support, the judge puts them in jail and says, if somebody pays this much of the arrears, you can get out of jail. It's like redeeming them. It's like buying them back out of debt. It's a debt they owed and they buy it back. But in some other countries, they'll put you in jail for a car accident until you pay all the hospital bills or pay over whatever the restitution is. So in the old times, you could be forced to be somebody's servant if you had a debt. In this country, a lot of the work was done in this country by indentured servants. You know, there was a lot of people that came over and they had a debt hanging over their head. They had to work for 7 or 14 years before that debt would be released. And they say the railroad built from the east to the west by Irish and Italians, and from the west to the east by the Chinese. But a lot of these people were probably in debt and indentured servants. And that's in this country, but in the old times, in the old biblical days, even their kids could be taken as servants. And here's a story of a kid that was taken as a servant. And Elisha, intervened. He redeemed them, basically. He came in and performed this miracle that allowed her to pay the debt. Right? She paid the debt, and her kids didn't have to be slaves. So we know the story of Ruth, right? Ruth, you have the kinsman redeemer. A near relative could redeem a family, the land, and marry the widow and continue the family. And that's where I think that story where they're trying to trick Jesus and to about the resurrection, and they say somebody had was married, they didn't have any kids, and then the brother married the wife, and the brother married the wife, and the brother married the wife. You know, each one was redeeming the family. But in the story of Ruth, Ruth's father-in-law was dead, her brother-in-law was dead, her husband was dead, and only her mother-in-law was alive. And they found Boaz. But Boaz wasn't the nearest of kin to them. He wasn't the nearest of kin. There was somebody else who had a right to intervene and redeem them first, but he wasn't willing. You had to be willing and you had to be able. You had to have the heart and the will, and you had to have the money or the ability to actually redeem. And so, you know, she's destitute, gleaning fields, like picking up grain that was dropped by accident by other people, gleaning the fields. And it looks like she's going to be basically living that way the rest of her life, in destitution. And Boaz steps in and redeems her, and the land, the family land too. And he was willing and he was able. And we have a relative born under the law, who redeems us from our debt. The man Jesus Christ is willing, and he is the only relative that is able. The only one that is able. No one else is able. And you know, all people are related. All people are related. And this is kind of I'm not a scientist, but it just intrigues me. I heard that scientists and geneticists say that scientifically, all people are related to one man. And yet, they say, oh, but it wasn't Adam and Eve. But nope, it wasn't that. And they can go back to one man, they can go back to one woman, and they're like, oh, no, but it wasn't Adam and Eve. But it's interesting. And so these are the scientists. Don't pay any attention to all these numbers and everything, but the scientists themselves believe that all people came from one spot and then filled the earth. You know, they came from one spot and filled the earth. And they also say all dogs came from one wolf-like dog. And all of these domestic dogs are related to the gray wolf. And then all of these wolves and foxes and everything, they're related. And you know, probably dingoes and everything else in there. And then all the dogs are related to one dog type dog. You know, so that suddenly, and all cats are related to one cat. And so suddenly that silly little story of Noah's Ark becomes real. It becomes real. And so you have, how does Noah's Ark relate to Christmas? You know, it's all profitable for us, right? It's all profitable. And so think about this. Like, when I was a kid, it was evolution or creation. Boom. There's a bright line, and we came from monkeys who's stupid, and that's what it is. Then they take you into biology class, and they say germs can mutate and make an immunity to drugs. And we got scientific proof. We'll show you right here. They can mutate. And then they'd say, you take some rabbits, take some brown rabbits, you take some white rabbits, and you put five brown rabbits, five white rabbits up in Antarctica where it's snow all the time, and you let them breed. And rabbits breed really fast. And then the little, what do you call them, pups or kits? Little rabbits, baby rabbits. Anyway, the baby rabbits, some of them have more white, some of them have more brown. And the wolves and the foxes and the lynxes, which one do you think they see first in the snow? The one with the brown. So they eat all the ones with brown more, and next thing you know, over a very short period of time, these rabbits are all white. They're all white rabbits. So that's called adaptation or survival of the fittest, and this is a type of evolution, you know. And so that, I think Ken Ham or somebody calls it microevolution. But all the stuff in biology class that they show you going from one species to another species, those are cartoons. Those aren't real. They're cartoons. And so you can just cross out the cartoons. And you think from Noah's Ark, God put two of each kind, it says, two of each kind and seven of the clean ones onto the ark, right? And from that, God put the genetics in them to make all those dogs. The genetics are in there. And man played around with most of them to make all those dogs. We know that, right? But man didn't play around with wolves and foxes and dingoes and all the other dogs. And the genetics in Adam and Eve, or Noah and his wife, were there for all of us. We're all related. We're all related to Adam. And we're all related. So by law, Jesus was born, and we'll just go through some of this. This is Adam through Noah, through Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. He had 12 tribes. You know, it goes on. We know Judah was Jesus' line, right? So, but there's a lot of other people in that. But Jesus was born as a man. He came as a man, right? To redeem us. Here's another one. Noah had Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And so you can see some of the stuff. Here's a different one. So you got Japheth is Europe and some of Asia. Ham is Southwest Asia, Canaan, Africa. Shem, Middle East, and the Shemites. But you can kind of see how they kind of overlap and all. And then they moved out from there. But this genealogy is not in the book of Luke for nothing. You know, Luke is from the perspective of Jesus as a man, the Son of Man. You know, Matthew, it starts with Abraham. It's like Jesus is a Jew. But Jesus goes all the way back to Adam. He's a man. He came as a man. It's a very interesting verse. Nobody can redeem their brother. It costs too much. There's only one person able to do that. No person can redeem their brother. And how costly is it? How costly is it to redeem your brother? Well, what we owe is death. That's what we owe. So can I redeem my brother if I owe death? Well, I got to pay my debt first before I can redeem them. And if I pay my debt, then I can't redeem them because I'm already dead. But Jesus didn't owe this penalty because he was without sin. And it's so costly that God sent forth his Son to redeem us. So costly that God gave his only begotten Son in John 3:16. So costly that the price was the blood of his Son. And the gift that you of Christmas you cannot add to. You cannot worship a little baby and leave it at that. In the Old Testament, they could because they were doing it by faith. They were doing the baby had not gone to the cross yet. They were doing it by faith, what God was going to do. He was going to raise him up as a king and a deliverer. But now, we can't just worship a little baby. And this isn't even a problem in today's society, hardly. But there are still people that are caught up in tradition. Church is about tradition. Religion is about tradition. And Jesus is a little baby. But he's more than that. He came on a mission. You can't add to the gift of Christmas. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. So if you can think you can add to the redemption payment, the cost of our ransom, then we're proud if we think we can add something to that. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And this is the cost. Not silver or gold. knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and hope are only in God. Only in God. I love to use this verse. When you meet Catholics in the town of Culpeper, guess what church they go to? They don't even know. They don't know what church they go to. Half of them don't even know the name. And when you tell them the name, they're like, oh yeah, that's the one I go to. Many of them know the name, and you say, where'd that name come from? I don't know. And then you can take them here. I know where it came from. And it actually lets their guard down, because a lot of times they say, I'm Catholic. You know, and then you start talking about their church, and they kind of loosen up a little bit. But very important. The precious blood, when we had a baby in the hospital, I asked the doctor, is the blood in the baby separate from the blood of the mother? Oh yeah, it can even have a different blood type. Like Jesus' blood was separate from Mary's blood. And so from Adam, we inherit, what do we inherit? Sin and death. And from Christ, what do we inherit? Forgiveness and life. Three things Satan really hates. He wants to come against. God is the creator. Satan hates that. God is the creator. The Bible is the word of God. Satan hates that. And Christ is the redeemer. Those three things he hates. And Christ is the redeemer. One precept upon another precept. Christ is our redeemer. The blood was necessary for redemption. And the blood must be pure, without spot, without blemish. In order for that, there had to be a virgin birth. So like, some people will come and they'll attack little areas of what we believe, and you might not think there's a big significance in the virgin birth, but there actually is a big significance in that. I like that song. I can't sing it. Can you sing it, Dan? I believe in God our Father. I believe in, you know, it goes on. It's got the Trinity. It's got the virgin birth. It's got all this stuff. It's like, it's awesome. So you have Christmas, the crucifixion, Easter. There's one thing they all have in common. Well, a couple things. Jesus, the blood. The blood. And Christmas, the virgin birth. Pure blood. Precious blood. Without spot. Without blemish. Jesus had to come as a man to be our kinsman redeemer. And the blood had to be pure. The crucifixion. He shed his precious blood for our ransom. And the resurrection. He took his blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven. Christmas is about the person of Christ. The person, and Christ is not just a little baby. It's more than that. It's the person of Christ, who he was. He was God incarnate. It's about the person of Christ. And Easter is about the work of Christ. But you can't really separate them. They can't be separated. Little baby in a manger, a king. And it's amazing, amazing that God sent his son to be born as a man. Born as a man. And by law, he came in through Mary. By law, he had every right as a man of that family. And he redeemed us. Redeemed us. Let's pray. If you're here today and you've never received the adoption of God, God, you've never received Christ's payment of his perfect blood for your sins, admit to God that you're a sinner. Say to God, God, I'm a sinner. I believe you came to earth with the purpose to die on the cross and to redeem me from my debt, for my sin, to redeem me from death. I believe you rose again. Save me, God. In Jesus' name, amen.